It's fantastic to have joining us on the phone on Static this evening, Mr. Kevin Robert Morby. How's your summer, Kevin?
Going well. I went to a water park today.
And what ride did you kill it on? What's your best form?
Well, there's a surf simulator. My friend Robin, who plays in Fleet Foxes, the two of us went, and he's a surfer, so he's excited because there's a surf simulator where you can kind of stand on surfboards, and it's sort of just this simulator. It creates a wave, so it's kind of pushing its wave at you, and you kind of just surf on top of it.
I'm amazed you've got so much downtime, actually, Kevin, because it's been a pretty busy couple of years for you. The album City Music followed a little over 12 months since the last record, Singing Saw. So was it always by design you were going to have these couple of records out back-to-back like that?
Yeah, it was always kind of a plan to release a bunch really quickly. So I had a lot of material that was kind of just coming out really quick, kind of knock them all out.
Did you sit there and look at the pile of stuff you had and kind of separate them into themes or ideas or anything like that? Like, how did you divvy up what was going to be on Singing Saw and what was going to be on City Music?
Yeah, I sat there and kind of divvied them up a little bit, but they kind of did most of the work themselves. It kind of became very apparent as they came out, like what belonged where. And thematically, they're sort of similar, but sonically, they're very different. And they kind of come from two different parts of my songwriting brain. So I kind of knew what was coming from where.
How early into the process of making an album does the arc or narrative sort of appear to you? Do you kind of get in a mindset and suddenly think, oh, okay, I'm writing these kind of songs and keep going down some sort of road?
Sort of. Something will happen where something will really pique my interest thematically, and I'll think to myself that I want to make an album about that, you know. And it can come in from any different way, you know. Just for whatever reason, something will pique my interest, and I'll suddenly become obsessed with a certain theme or feeling, and I want to make an album sort of devoted to it. So there's no one way that it ever happens. It always happens differently. Something I'm going through or just something I'm interested in at the time. And kind of the moment it makes itself clear, it becomes easier to create the thing. It's sort of like cooking, you know. If you knew what the end goal was, if you knew that you wanted to make a pie, then you just have to sort of decide how you're going to go about it and what you're going to put inside of it. But you know that the end goal is this one certain thing. It makes it a little bit easier.
This album, City Music, as its title suggests, is a love letter to urban areas, and the title track almost makes me happy for traffic jams, overcrowding and pollution. So was this sort of a way for you of breaking free of any lingering preconceptions of you as an upstate country folkie? Like, did you sort of deliberately set about writing these kind of songs about a city or cities?
Yeah, I mean, I set out to write songs about a city for sure. So they were easy for me to write because I'd lived in New York for so long, and I've always just lived in urban environments. I was in New York for a long time, and I grew up sort of near a big Midwestern city, and so it's a very easy subject for me.
And so did writing about cities, though, sort of suggest to you that you wanted to make more of a rock record? I mean, it's not exactly your Judas moment, but the title track is sort of this unspooling rock song that sounds more like the Velvets or Television than you ever have.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that was a thing. I kind of wanted it to be an all-encompassing sort of album where thematically it would be about the city, and then sonically it would also represent my favorite music that's come from cities, a very city-specific music, like both those bands for sure, Velvet Underground and Television, and, you know, other bands from that sort of mid to late 70s era of punk in New York.
And it's interesting, though, Kevin, when you moved to the West Coast was when you made your New York record, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think the thing about that is sometimes you have to step out of an environment that you're in to be able to reflect on it and write about it. And my first record is called Harlem River, and I wrote that also about New York. Yeah, it's kind of when you're in something, for me personally at least, I'm soaking it all up, and it's not until I leave that I'm actually able to sort of process it. You know, it's kind of like a relationship. If you're with a partner for a long time, you kind of don't understand what's going on until, you know, you have a breakup, and you're able to kind of see it from this different perspective and see, like, oh, wow, that's what was going on then and there.
Was there a bit of homesickness going on too? Was it helping you to not miss New York so much when you were on the West Coast to actually write about it in song?
Yeah, I'm sure there was some of that for sure. I think about New York a lot, and it's a big part of my life, and I still go there all the time, but it's definitely something that I sort of romanticize and idealize in my brain because it's played such a significant role in my life, and it's very different now than it was when I moved there as a kid, but it'll forever be in my heart.
And City Music's not really a postcards record. It's not about locations, but it is, as you say, sort of about the feeling and even the bands. The track 1, 2, 3, 4 is your homage to the Ramones, Count In, and also Jim Carroll. So Were you kind of thinking about records that had really inspired you by bands that came out of that city?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, those aren't really influences that you would necessarily read about me 90% of the time. Most of the time people like to talk about people who are bigger influences to me, like Leonard Cohen or Bob Dylan or Lou Reed, Nina Simone, stuff like that. But those are parts of my psyche, too, that I wanted to sort of highlight, because those are artists that have played a big role in my coming up with music.
Yeah, it's good to almost auto-correct that stuff. I'm sure purists probably expect you to turn your nose up at punk.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's no better way of doing that also. I mean, the West Coast rubbed off a bit because you covered the Germs, caught in my eye as well. So, you know, you covered punk from both coasts on the record, Kevin.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I love the LA punk scene from that time too. You know, X is one of my favorite bands. And yeah, I love the Germs. And it was really cool going on both coasts at that time.
Maybe you'll have to move to Iceland next and, you know, write your LA record or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there is a few sort of West Coast ingredients on City Music, though. You've got San Francisco's secret weapon, Meg Baird, to narrate Flannery, which is this midway sort of point on the record, which is almost like a cleanser. That makes the whole tale a bit more magical, having her on it. How did you end up sort of cornering Meg to do that reading, Kevin?
Meg's been a good friend of mine for many years, and her and her husband stopped by the studio as we were recording, and she didn't do it then, but she ended up singing on my record. She sings on the Germs cover, caught my eye, and Meg just sort of got this like beautiful, sort of angelic presence. She's very calming. I really like being around her because she's sort of always content, and she's kind of this source of humbleness for me. And so when I thought about how I wanted this passage on the on the record, I thought who better to speak it than Meg.
As well as getting some guests on the record, you yourself deliberately got glitzier and more showbiz. You got the embroidered jacket, right, Kevin?
I do. I got a sort of a Hank Williams-inspired nudie suit.
And was that because you thought you were doing a bigger, bolder record? You needed to actually dress more appropriately as well?
In a way. I kind of wanted to make this album cycle really fun. I wanted to make it the live show kind of bombastic and sort of loose and sort of chaotic and energetic. And a suit like that is kind of meant to be, not a joke, but it's sort of, it kind of creates a mood all of its own. And I kind of wanted to throw that on the table and kind of have that be a mission statement of like, we're just here to have sort of a good, unique time.
Does it whip your band into shape when you pull that on and lead them out on stage? They know it's business time.
Yeah. They get real serious when you throw it on. They know it's time to get to work.
As well as making records, you have also more recently become your own label boss, because you've got this Woodsist offshoot called Mare, and you're releasing other people's records on there now. You're just doing the Shannon Lay album. So is that kind of fun for you to be able to pass it on in a certain way?
Yeah, it's really exciting. You know, I think the big thing for me is doing what I do and I've been doing for so long. So many people have helped me out along the way and have given me encouragement or put out a tape here or, you know, a 7-inch there. And eventually, you know, people started putting out records for me. And I really like a lot of music that I see. And, you know, for someone like Shannon, I would see her play around L.A. a lot, but I kind of saw that it wasn't, you know, people weren't taking as much notice as I would like them. And I wanted to be a part of making that happen because I think she's so amazing. And it's just kind of like, as I get a little bit more successful and I see a little bit more financial stability and stuff, I like to give back to music and kind of just throw my earnings back into putting more great music out into the world.
And are you taking submissions from as far away as Australia?
I mean, I suppose so. Why not? I've got a couple more releases lined up. It's definitely something I don't have too much time for, but yeah.
I don't want to drop you in at all, you know, put you on the spot, but hey, while you're here.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're pretty busy. I hope you can bring the jacket and the band and the whole package to Australia for this record.
Yeah, me too. I think in the new year, hopefully, we'll make it over there.
For now, we might have a listen to Pearly Gates off of City Music.
Great.
We'll see you here at some point, Kevin. And this is Pearly Gates on Static. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you very much.